This is Sam Darmacena, and you are listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Clean Hands Toronto currently takes care of 10 volunteer-run hand-washing stations around the city. Their founder, Josh Kanakaratnam, tells me how they got started, what it takes to keep the project going, and where the team plans to go next. Josh explains to me that the advice to wash our hands at the beginning of the pandemic got him thinking deeper about hand hygiene and how to make it accessible to all people in Toronto. He also credits his partner as an inspiration for the project. She studied epidemiology and is currently an infections control practitioner, and so that sparked a lot of interesting and helpful conversations during the planning stage of Clean Hands Toronto. He also got some stateside support that helped him bring his idea to life.
And then in researching, like, hey, is anyone else doing this? Has anyone solved this already? I came across this group called Love Beyond Walls. They're Atlanta-based. It actually, like, it was one of those weird things where, like, I was thinking about hand hygiene, and then it popped up on my Reddit feed, and I was like, oh, the algorithm got me again. And I saw them. I was able to get in touch with them. They were really helpful in telling me, like, hey, this is what we're doing. We're putting these camping stations, camping sinks out in all the encampments, etc., so that our homeless population has the ability to clean their hands. I think they were doing it before COVID hit, but the relevance of it just like went 100x once COVID hit.
Josh tells me that Love Beyond Walls funded the first two hand washing stations, and then he set up a GoFundMe to grow the initiative and also turn it into more of a community effort. The donations were especially important because the prices for hand washing stations skyrocketed around that time.
The nature of things at that time, at the height of coronavirus, was that prices for essential goods just went up. So this became like an in-demand item in a lot of places. And so I think regularly these would be $80 for a station, but at the height, they went up to $1,000. People were hoarding them, selling them on Amazon and eBay. I think our average price that we were able to get them for is closer to about $200 Canadian each. So that's for the station itself. So it's a portable station, it's self-contained, it holds a body of water, there's a foot pump, it pumps out water, and there's a place to have soap.
There's the initial cost that Josh just mentioned, and then there's also monthly costs to maintain the stations also. Josh explains that it costs about $30 a month to buy the soap for the station and also distribute masks and gloves to his team of volunteers. He tells me that while he hates social media, Instagram was actually the place that connected him with his current team of volunteers.
I basically put posts up and said, like, hey, does anyone want to volunteer? Just because it does take some time with 10 stations. It would take about like 2 hours to visit every station, and we want to hit them up as often as we can. And so then we started a WhatsApp group, and there's a bunch of people in the WhatsApp group. And we used to say, hey, here are the stations. If anyone can go, hit them up, do that, and send a picture. And so that's what we're doing.
And while he's incredibly proud of how the community has rallied around the project, he also wants to see more of a commitment to hand hygiene from government bodies.
Like, I'm so happy to have the ability and privilege to do these things, and I love it. I love being able to spread any sort of positivity or help people in any way. But then there's also like this thought in my head. It's like, why is this volunteer run? Like, why am I having to do this? And I've had conversations with the city, and it's like there's levels of disconnect where I'll talk to people in the city and we'll be like, oh, we love what you're doing. It's great. You know, we tried to do this and we couldn't. We're so happy that you did it. And then when it comes time to get funding, it's like there's all these roadblocks and red tape. And I say, and it's just like, well, it's not going to get done by you guys. It's just not. And it's like, it's crazy that they can see the value in it, but then still create these roadblocks to not get it done. It's kind of frustrating, to be honest with you.
Josh tells me that the price gouging around hand washing stations can greatly impact the operations of a volunteer-run project, but it's a fairly cheap initiative for the city to take on.
The thing about the cost is that that is actually a ridiculously low cost for the value that it provides, because, you know, the studies show that you could reduce the spread of disease by 20%. By just washing your hands.
Josh has also been thinking about what that 20% would look like on a high level.
Once it is accessible to everyone and we have a real hand hygiene kind of initiative in place in the city for the entire public to use, and that's permanent and that isn't portable and that isn't funded or by volunteer groups, once it's a real thing, we'll be able to actually combat disease much faster. Like, what is the value of being able to open up 20% faster than we would otherwise? What's the value of 20% less people going to the hospitals? It far surpasses the value or actually cost of these items.
I asked Josh how they decide on locations for their hand washing stations, and he tells me that on top of the equipment involved and the volunteer networks, there's also a partner network that plays an important role in the Clean Hands Toronto story. Partners are groups that have property and are open to hosting a station, and currently, many of their stations are connected to the Anglican Church network.
They have churches across Toronto, and they have really beautiful churches, by the way, just because I've had to visit all of them. Their churches are so beautiful. It's ridiculous. It's like really old Gothic style buildings. What they do is they let us put our stations on their property. And the reason it works really well is because they already do a lot of outreach. So they might already have meal programs. They might already have some program meaning for the homeless community or those who are experiencing homelessness. And so it works really well where the same person can go for a meal can also wash their hands before and after that meal. And it's kind of a complimentary service. So the way we kind of position ourselves is you know, you are providing these services. Do you want to add to the services that you can provide? And we're going to take care of kind of the maintenance of it. We just need a space for you. And so it's been a great partnership so far. I think most of our stations are actually at Anglican churches.
I asked Josh what's next for Clean Hands. And he says that there are some short-term and long-term things on his mind. For starters, there's the wear and tear of the stations.
I think we've also learned a lot by putting the stations out. And so the way that the stations are shaped, there's like just the way that they're designed. They're designed for like people to go camping. Hey, I'm camping right now. I'm going to take the sink out right now. And then I'm going to disassemble it and put it away. That's not the same use case that we're kind of using it for. This is kind of more of like a permanent outdoor station.
And thinking long term, he's applied for funding and is hoping to have solutions to his current use case problem, among other issues related to hand hygiene.
Part of the money I want to use for research and development into building a new station. My ideas around that are we can build smart hand washing stations that a city could deploy that you would be able to easily tell, okay, which stations are being used the most, which ones are being used the least, so you can understand intelligently where to put new stations. And then beyond that, we could probably do some sort of like analysis on the runoff water to do things like disease tracking, kind of going more into like that epidemiology side of it to just be smarter about, well, if we know that the flu is happening here or coronavirus is spreading here, like how can we kind of micromanage those things instead of just doing blanket kind of lockdowns or restrictions or what have you across the city? If maybe there's a better way to do it.
Josh tells me that being at the heart of Clean Hands Toronto has given him a closer look at the community around him. And he tells me that he's always pleasantly surprised by the willingness of his community to get involved in what he's up to.
This power of community, I think, is like so special. Having people come together, see what I'm doing, and actually participate. And participation comes in so many forms. In some forms, it's like donations to the GoFundMe. Other forms, it's volunteering. Then you have like all these other sorts of grassroots, like cool things that people did in these trying times that gives me so much faith for humanity. Like it's people who don't even know me, and it has nothing to do with me, but there's someone who did a bake sale and said, hey, I'm gonna cook, and if you buy these products, you can buy them by donating to this thing. And it's just thought like, this person doesn't know me. And again, it's not about me, but I just thought it was so beautiful that strangers are helping strangers and empowering people that they don't know. That person has not even seen my face. You know, like they just know that, hey, there's this thing's happening and I can help. And I like that people are looking for ways to help. It's like one of the beautiful things about something like a pandemic or like this greater stressor.
To keep up with Clean Hands Toronto, follow them on Instagram at cleanhandsto. This is Sam Dharmasena, and you've been listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of a local journalism initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.